not your fault.
Leviticus 9, verse 18 to 10, verse 7. He also killed the bull and the ram as sacrifices of peace offerings, which were for the people. And Aaron's sons presented to him the blood, which he sprinkled all around on the altar, and the fat from the bull and the ram, the fatty tail with what covers the entrails and the kidneys, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver, and they put the fat on the breasts. Then he burned the fat on the altar, but the breasts in the right thigh, Aaron waved as a wave offering before Yahweh, as Moses had commanded. Then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of Yahweh appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before Yahweh and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before Yahweh, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from Yahweh and devoured them, and they died before Yahweh. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what Yahweh spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified." So Aaron held his peace. Then Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, "Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp." So they went near and carried them by their tunics out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron and Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, "Do not uncover your heads, nor tear your clothes, lest you die, and wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which Yahweh has kindled. You shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. For the anointing oil of Yahweh is upon you." And they did according to the word of Moses. This reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Okay, so if you look at verse 3 of chapter 10, you see the one of the very first things about how to regard God as holy and glorify Him. And that is, we assess what happens in worship, and we decide how to respond, not by how we feel, but by what the Lord says. Look at verse 3. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what Yahweh spoke, saying." So even before we get to the content of what Moses says, you see the priority. Aaron is feeling, has very strong feelings right now, doesn't he? Or the potential for it. I can only imagine. I don't have four sons like Aaron did, but I have three. And even if it were in more slow motion, and I saw two of my boys going their own way, and I saw their souls being hardened and destroyed, and it would be a slow motion version of what Nadab and Abihu did, and a slow motion version of the fire that came out from the Lord. Sometimes I have wondered, how will it be with me if that's the way some of my boys' lives turn out? I'm trusting God to use His means, and I am pressing you to repent and believe the gospel daily, more and more. But it's very hard. What Aaron was facing at the beginning of verse 3 involved very strong emotions and often people's views of worship and how to respond to it are based on their emotions. But Moses immediately presents Aaron with something that is above how we feel. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what Yahweh spoke." We are to assess what happens in worship not by how it makes us feel, to use a terrible phrase, but a phrase that is helpful because it refers to the reflexes of our hearts, which are often informed more by our original nature than by the work of the Spirit. We are to assess what happens in worship and seek what would happen in worship, not by how we feel, but by what Yahweh has spoken. And this believing what God says over against what we perceive, and especially over against that which moves us most deeply, our emotions, this believing what Yahweh has spoken over those things is faith. And so the first thing here, first part here of regarding Yahweh as holy, which Aaron does, praise God. You see that at the end of verse 3, so Aaron held his peace, is that we go by what Yahweh says over by what we perceive. In the sermon yesterday, we called it faith over feeling, but it's not just faith over feeling, faith producing feelings. Maybe should have anticipated that we wouldn't get to the application at the end of the third point, in which that was going to be one of the ideas. That it's not just you believe what Yahweh says over what you feel, but then you recognize that if your feelings are not in line with what Yahweh says, then your feelings need to change, need to be informed by what the Lord says. The second thing, of course, is what was it that made the Lord, or what was it that the Lord called disregarding him and his holiness? He says, "I must be regarded as holy." And he's judging what Nadab and Abihu did as not holy. And we can see it even in our memory verse for the coming Lord's Day. "But their hearts are far from me, and in vain they worship me." On what basis does the Lord Jesus make that judgment? Because they were teaching as doctrines, they were teaching as truths, the commandments of men, the ideas of men. So that when part of how you are constructing your worship is not to to fulfill as well as possible what God has commanded, but you introduce human ideas, it doesn't matter how sincere you feel in it or what feelings are produced in it, or how much you think it means or signifies things that God has done. Jesus says, "Your heart is far from me, and your worship is worthless at that point." And so he says that Nadab and Abihu offered, and it's quite literally just strange fire, foreign fire, fire that didn't belong. Some of the translations say unauthorized, which in the context is good. But he goes on immediately to explain what he means by the strangeness. Offered strange fire before Yahweh, which, and here's what made it strange. Okay, so, found out in discussion that there are some people who want to have different ideas of what made it strange, but the Lord tells us what made it strange. Okay, which he had not commanded them. That's what was strange about it. And so you may offer worship that is familiar on earth, but it is foreign in heaven. And it doesn't matter what the church likes, and it doesn't matter what the community likes. If it's foreign to heaven, God says, "You are not regarding me as holy." So faith over feelings, and correcting to produce correct feelings in response to correct things. Obedience over the ideas of men, the instructions of God, over against the ideas of men. And then we are to worship with our whole heart, remember. We're to give our undivided attention, all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength to this worship of God. Signified here to us, they'd already had one death, they'd already had two deaths, right? And Moses says in verse 7, we might not be done yet. You see him saying that. He said, you shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And he's also talking about removing their priestly headgear and garments from verse 6. You shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. And when the Lord has called us into the holy assembly, it's very important, little kids, little ones, littler ones. You are worshipers and you are called into the holy assembly. And when the Lord calls us into the holy assembly, and the New Testament tells us that Jesus has brought us in, not just into the outer court where the main altar is, not just into the holy place where the incense altar is, but all the way into the Holy of Holies in our Lord's Day worship services now, of the true tabernacle in heaven, not the copy. When the Lord calls you to the holy assembly, you give yourself entirely to it. Don't allow yourself to be distracted. Don't allow yourself to be a distraction to others. Think about how you are worshiping in a way to offer yourself from the heart entirely to God in a way that participates in the assembly and helps others do so. So you think about what is being said. You agree in your heart with the prayers. You sing with a full voice in the songs. You give attention to the sermon. And you don't just have your eyes and ears and faces pointed in the correct direction. You think about what is being said. And whatever truths are taught, you commit yourself to believing with your heart. And whatever practice is being commanded, you commit yourself to obeying from the heart. And cry out to God in your heart, asking him for help. Give your whole self to what we are doing. Yes, sweetie, your whole self to what we are doing. Because when God calls you holy and sets you apart to a particular task for a particular time, you are to give your whole self to him. And this is what it means to regard God as holy in our worship from this passage. His word over our feelings. Faith over feelings, or faith over perception. Obedience to his instructions over introduction of our ideas. And giving our whole self from the heart to the worship. Let's pray. Father in heaven, just the fact that we are shocked by what happens to Nadab and Abihu here reminds us that our hearts are not where they should be concerning your holiness. Have mercy on us, we pray, and grant us a glimpse of the greatness of your holiness. And then grant us to be reminded from your word what you say about what it is to regard you as holy in your worship, so that we would not come and offer that which is foreign in heaven, so that we would not come and by our perceptions and feelings and responses be in disagreement with your word about the goodness of the worship, so that we would not come half-heartedly in a distracted way as those who are offering something common instead of something consecrated. You know that our flesh wars against this. We thank you that your spirit wars against our flesh. Grant to us to keep in step with the spirit, to be led by him. We ask it in Jesus' name. And your children here say, amen. Amen. Amen.